listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net. And as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
Out, maybe you can teach old tropes new tricks.
Can you? All I know is there were Nazis, except with art.
Well, I mean, the Nazis and art were sort of...
Now we know that they went hand in hand, thanks to Monuments Men.
Yes, and some other films as well. It has come up once or twice.
Every now and then. That's actually how you stop a Nazi, is you put fine art in front of them and they get distracted and you can run away.
Leave a trail, fine art crumbs.
Take this, Rodin! I'm out of here! Ooh, it's quite nice.
It's like, catch those Jews! Hey, look over there! It's a Klimt! What? Where?
Yes, the Nazis were crazy for Klimt.
We are talking about the new film, The Woman in Gold, directed by Simon Curtis, who's best known for doing the, I thought, really wonderful My Week with Marilyn.
Yeah, no, it was quite good.
This story is a true story based on the late Maria Altman, who was a Holocaust survivor living in Los Angeles, who basically sought out a lawyer who was a, you know...
Friend of the family.
Yeah. To try and reclaim works of art that were stolen from her family by the Nazis when they were forced to, you know, just barely get out of Austria during World War II.
Well, quite literally, the main character, the character played by Helen Mirren when she was younger, she lived with her uncle and her father and their spouses, and her uncle left to Switzerland before the Anschluss, when Germany took over Austria. And her father was like, "No, we're gonna ride it out. We'll be fine." And of course, he was not.
Bad call, brother.
Yes, nor was anyone else. And the movie starts with the death of her sister, and she discovers some documents in her sister's, the papers that her sister had left to her that lead her to believe that, hey, remember that. Portrait of your aunt that Gustav Klimt, the famous artist of the Art Nouveau movement,
and on every college girl's dorm room wall.
Yes, on every college girl's wall. Well, you know, that portrait of your aunt that your father commissioned, is currently in an Austrian gallery. There's a question as to whether or not her, you know, that was actually legally obtained. Yeah. And I mean, they know that the Nazis took it, but the Austrian museum, the Belvedere, is claiming that, oh, no, your aunt had a will, and she bequeathed it to her, even though she died in 1925, she bequeathed this to her after her brother died. Yes. So, neener, neener, neener. I don't care if it was hanging up on your fucking wall. It's ours, and it's the Austrian Mona Lisa, and you can't fucking have it.
Right. The difference being, of course, that there ends up that there are certainly lots of legal loopholes to jump through here, as well as just the simple fact that, like, even if you presume that her will is correct, that it was supposed to pass to the museum on the death of her father... Yeah.
Who didn't die until 1945, and yet mysteriously the museum had those paintings hanging up on the wall in 1941.
Yeah. So, Austria helped working with the Nazis, don't really want to admit it, but the fact that this all gets brought up,
because, yeah, like they bring up Kurt Waldheim, the old president, you know, former head of the UN, and he was the president of Austria, who apparently went for a sandwich in 1940 and didn't wake up again until 1945. He's like, who, me? Nazi? No. So,
in answer to that, they've basically gone, oh, we're gonna try and, you know, like help. Like people reclaim art. That
they make a nominal. They're like, we're going to make a nominal effort.
They just didn't mean those Klimt paintings.
Well, and not only that, it's very much a like, hey, we've got to scrub our image up. A lot of people think of us as Nazi collaborators because we, you know, collaborated with all those Nazis.
It's funny, people just won't let things go.
And literally somebody does, you know, go up to her at one point and be like, can't you just, you know, you people are all like, why can't you just let the Holocaust go?
And, you know, this has got Helen Mirren playing Maria Altman, who is giving an absolutely captivating, warm, and yet crabby performance.
Yes.
You know, she's a wonderful, like, busybody of an old lady.
Yeah.
She is definitely the centerpiece of this film, both in terms of story and in terms of just her performance, which is, I think, one of the best things I've seen her do, actually.
Wow, okay.
It's just charming, and you both are frustrated by her and want to hug her. Ryan Reynolds, of course, not quite as good of a performance.
Ryan Reynolds is here kind of stepping up his game.
He's a schmucky mensch.
And yeah, he starts off in the parlance of the film as a kind of a schlemiel. You know, his grandfather was actually a famous composer. You know, his father was a famous litigator. He got out of law school, got with a firm, was doing well, went out on his own and tried to open his own law firm and tanked. And at the beginning of the movie, he's just gotten a new job with Lord Lannister, Tyrion Lannister, with Charles Dance, you know, Lannister, and Tyrell, and he's kind of trying to rebuild his life, and definitely Ryan Reynolds is. He's stepping up his game here. He's going toe to toe with Helen Mirren, and he does a pretty good job. You know, they kind of oversell it in the movie that, hey, he's kind of a schmuck, and he's feeling his way around, and he's got the most dynamic character arc where he kind of starts off as this, like, well, hey, this might be some good money, and then he ends up traveling to Austria with Helen Mirren to recover these, or see what they can do.
And
at
what
least.
He recovers is a love for his past.
He recovers the
history.
Fact that the Austrian government killed almost all of his family.
He becomes a real mensch.
Yes.
Exactly. Also, Katie Holmes has got a role in, as his wife. Tatiana Maslany, who is wonderful from the star of Orphan Black. You know, she's half the cast of Orphan Black.
Half the cast
plays
of Orphan
the
Black.
Younger version. Yeah,
she's
of
more
Helen
than half the cast. She's 60% of the cast.
60% of the cast. Lots of great performances throughout there. Jonathan Pryce has a very short but very
playing
a
famous asshole William Rehnquist. and hey, man, if Jonathan Pryce makes William Rehnquist likable, and nobody could do that,
right? Yeah, that's pretty remarkable right there.
It's like, wow, you're kind of personable. I hope to bring a case of, no, wait a minute, I know about you in real life, and you're a total fucking shithead.
Now, here's the thing. This is definitely, you know, playing on tropes of films we've seen many times before.
There's a lot. This
little
is
guy courtroom drama.
This is a melange of...
It's the Nazi war flashback film where you have your characters dealing with something, and we keep flashing back and seeing more about learning about who these characters are by seeing flashbacks to the war.
And I'm feeling that this might have worked a little bit better for you than it did for me. There's a lot of different movies here, and for me, the joints aren't as tightly spackled as they could be. Sometimes I found a lot of the flashbacks very jarring, and like, I understood why they were there. They did carry the story, but for some reason, I was getting engaged in one thing, they'd take me to another place, and I found it a little distracting.
I mean, the only way in which that bothered me was that I thought at points it was unbalanced by how long the flashbacks went on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, if you're going to go with a flashback story, there should be sort of a sense of, like, it always happens for about the same amount of time and maybe a similar amount of spacing even in the film
sure.
when it happens. Because otherwise it can feel a little unwieldy.
And I didn't feel like I was, you know... I definitely felt involved with Ryan Reynolds' character and Helen Mirren's character, and when they did the flashbacks, I did not become engaged with those people, even though one of them was, you know, ostensibly playing, you know, ostensibly the younger version of Helen Mirren. And especially when there's a very, you know, for this film, involved sequence where they sneak out of Vienna. And I was just like, I in the middle of this, when I'm just getting involved in this courtroom drama, I do not want Flight from the Nazis.
See, the thing is, I was actually marveling how much I was involved in that sequence. I was like,
it's gripping, don't get me wrong.
I mean, I found, even though, you know, well, clearly they got away,
yeah.
I was kind of on the edge of my seat watching.
And it's hard not to be, and, you know, I won't go so far as to say it's manipulative, but it does, you know, they really do, it's like every bit that you've seen in a film that involves the Holocaust, sure. there's like the heavy, here, you know, because it really fucking happened, you know, here come the Nazis to literally take away your life and then ship you away to be killed. And, you know, they do that. And so when somebody is like escaping from that, the stakes are so high that you cannot help but grip your seat. But still, it's, you know, even though I definitely see where the stories tie into each other and they're the same story in some ways, I felt like somebody was flipping the channels between two different movies.
Okay, well, I mean, it's funny because, like, there have been other films that I found myself disagreeing with some of my other fellow critics that used the same technique.
Sure.
For exactly the same way. And I guess it's not something that's ever bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technique that's actually even becoming common on television of late with Arrow.
Yeah. Well,
know?
Yes.
You know, I do think if there's a...
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm an exposition junkie. I love me a good flashback. For me, it was this. I did know what happened. I did know that she got away. You know, there were certain bits about, like, well, who survived and who didn't? But I already knew that nearly everybody died. You know? And,
spoiler.
You know, there were... I don't know. It was exciting. It was gripping. I don't think it was necessarily artful. And that may be just me going in to see a movie at the Arbor, which is our art house here in Austin, and, you know, something that's kind of been billed as an art house movie. You know, I'm kind of surprised, other than the fact that, you know, Holocaust movies are bummers, that this isn't, playing more mainstream, because I didn't get an art house feel from it at all.
And it's not a bummer film, either.
No, not at all.
The type of movie it's trying to be. A lot of films that are like this in some ways are real downers all the way through it, and this film is actually more about sentimentality, and quite frankly, like, being commerce to a bigger audience, which is odd that it's coming from BBC Films, who've certainly never taken a master class in, like, wide distribution.
Right, no, not at all.
Films. I think one of the things I actually liked about it, that I found that refreshing about it, because you don't see films of this type being marketed so much to so much bigger of an audience. I mean, yes, it is shamelessly sentimental at points.
There are like two or three times where it almost dips, it starts to dip into the schmaltz, and then they pull it out of the bin. Like, at the very end, there's a flashback scene that I was kind of like, all right, you're really pushing the envelope on this for me.
Well, they push it, but they never break past that line. At least not for me, anyway. I found it, like, whereas I can't help but say this is definitely a more commercial feature, I still thought it really worked for what it was. There's nothing... I feel like I can't bring myself to say, because it was a more commercial feature, therefore it was lessened in some way.
I wouldn't want to say that. There are things about this movie that I definitely, even though it's only about an hour and 49 minutes, even that seemed a little bit too long, just because there's stuff in there. All the stuff with Katie Holmes, you could have thrown that right out.
Yeah, he didn't even need to be married. The only reason for him to be married was so that when it got the point where, once again, Helen Mirren throws one of her fits and decides, I'm not sure I even want to go through with this.
Right.
So he can turn around and go, are you out of your fucking mind?
Right.
I put everything on the line, and I've got, like, a baby on the way.
And for Katie Holmes to be like, I know you can do this, honey. And it's just like, you know, God, it's... such a cookie cutter supportive wife role that I'm just like, why is this even in here? I mean, you can all you have to do is say, like, yeah, my wife's starting to get really mad at me, and my you know, I've got kids on the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree that you probably could have lost 10 or 15 minutes from the running time. Sure. Just by like excising some characters who really don't ultimately serve, but the most minor of points here could have been handled differently. But overall, I thought it actually ran along pretty smoothly. There's a really good punch-up stuff. There's some genuinely really funny stuff along the way as well. A lot of it with Helen Mirren and just the interesting, boisterous.
For me, that's what really sells. You know, okay. First of all, yeah, I've always liked Ryan Reynolds, but he's certainly not a guy who steps out of his wheelhouse a lot.
No.
And this is it's a small tentative step outside of that wheelhouse. You know, where you see the guy kind of going from a schlemiel to this very competent and committed, passionate lawyer.
Well, let's go to final thoughts here. I'm just going to say that whereas I do think that there's certainly a lot of familiarity with other films you've seen before, I would argue that perhaps this film, in knowing exactly the type of film it wants to be, maybe does it a little more effortlessly than a lot of those other films I've seen that are following this you know, little guy fighting up against the impossible legal battle and the Nazi film with flashbacks. I really enjoyed this quite a bit. In fact, Helen Mirren's performance steered it so strongly for me that even the points that are manipulative in a very Hollywood sort of way worked for me. I found myself tearing up towards the end.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a maudlin sucker. I tear up at that shit. Yeah.
So actually, I'm gonna give this 8 out of 10. Probably 100,000 missing pieces of Nazi art.
Oh my god. Thanks. This is the movie that when you're flipping around on cable, you're like, oh, this is kind of, I'll stick with this for a while. It's not the most stick to your ribs movie. There's nothing new under the sun here. It is, you know, very sentimental, almost to the schmaltzy point sometime. But it's got a lot of charm going, and most of that comes from Helen Mirren. Some of it's coming from Ryan Reynolds. Some of it's coming from, like, you know, fuck you, Austria. you took these pieces of art, and, you know, goddammit, it got back to the person that it should. And with the help of some people, some Austrians who were very passionate about getting, you know, seeing that the right thing was done. You know, like I said, there's some gaps in here and things, you know, by and large, you know, it I don't think it congealed as well for me as it did for you. That being said, man, if you're looking for a mom movie, this is the movie to take your mom to. You totally know, your mom loves Helen Mirren and she'll love this.
Where she can cry and laugh and never feel at the end like it was just too emotionally much for her.
Yep.
But she had a movie that she could get a little mad about at points.
Yes.
Like that mom righteous indignation.
Absolutely.
I give this
7 moms out of 10 moms.
That's still a lot of moms.
That's a lot of moms.
Yeah. You know, I feel like this may be the same cake we've had before, but with a tastier frosting.
Yeah, but and
Nazi
it's,
cake.
It's oh, it's not Nazi cake.
Not ex-Nazi cake.
It's not even, there's no Nazis in this cake.
It's cake that the Nazis stole and then wouldn't give back, and then they got it back 50 years later.
And it was delicious.